Hello, everybody. Guess what?
Welcome.
It's time for Sass and Nosh.
Yay!
Sass and Nosh with Alex and Kim. That's Alex, and I'm Kim. Welcome.
Welcome, everyone.
Welcome. We're back.
Today, we're going to do a little bit of a miscellaneous hodgepodge on beauty.
We need to decolonize this beauty standard we have. But we were talking about our profile photos, and the profile photo that I have up on my Zoom, I'm wearing bright red lipstick that would have made my grandmother Sophie very proud. And I was sharing with Alex that I was inspired that day to take the photo because she, in one of the classes, whether I can't remember which one, meditation or yoga, or maybe it was one of our podcast recordings that we did, Alex was wearing a red lipstick that looked gorgeous on her. And I was like, you know what? We need to do this. So we were just talking about, we need to normalize wearing red lipstick.
Yes. Don't save it for just the rainy day, because there's something about lipstick that is so empowering. It's kind of like, you know, watch my lips, because I'm going to say this once and I'm not stuttering. So pay attention.
And it's a very feminine thing. And I want to recognize all of the men out there in the world that are breaking the barriers there and wearing lipstick around the world. I think they should keep doing that. But it feels like a very girly thing to do, to put lipstick on.
It feels like empowering the feminine, empowering
yes.
our voice.
Yes.
For me, it's like an exclamation point.
I remember my grandmother, Sophie, may she rest in peace. She's my Jewish grandmother. And, you know, she grew up, she didn't have a lot in her life. I mean, she had an abundant life and she was very blessed, but she had a difficult life. But when I was growing up, I still have it upstairs. I have her jewelry. But her thing that I remember about her, well, number one, she wore the house coat, like the house was with the, I guess it's a caftan, but in the summertime, it was the short, light one. But I remember her house dress. That's what they're called, the house dress. She always wore a hot pink lipstick. I don't remember her face without her hot pink lipstick. It didn't matter if she was in her house dress. It didn't matter if her hair was combed. She wore the hot pink lipstick and she smoked Eve cigarettes. And Eve cigarettes, they're long and they're very skinny. And they have around the filter, they had a band of, it was a floral band. So I remember as a little kid in the ashtray, these pretty flowers on the white stick with my grandma's hot pink lipstick.
What a memory.
Yeah. And her jewelry though, it's that 1950s and 60s gargantuan, gaudy costume jewelry. And my mom told me that, because she, you know, my grandmother was a single mom raising three kids and she depended on child support from my grandpa, but she saved the money. She was really good with money and she squirreled away some money. And anytime the Coventry jewelry salesman came to the door, she always bought a piece.
Wow. Hmm. That is old Hollywood glam.
Yeah. And I need to, I bought a, cause it's all packed away and it's actually just getting ruined cause it's all jammed in my grandma's jewelry box. Some of the pieces are now broken, unfortunately, and some of the glass is scratched, but there are others. I mean, I have like full sets, the earrings and the brooch. And back in the day when I was cute And when I had places to go, I would wear her jewelry. I went to a cocktail party and I had this really pretty red dress on and I wore like the biggest earrings that I could find from my grandmother's. I feel like it's empowering. And I think also I've been trying to practice, what does it feel like in the days that my mood isn't so great? What does it feel like to put makeup on? And like I'm leaving my house, even though I'm not. But not just if anything, it's like if I'm not feeling like putting on a whole face of makeup, I will intentionally choose the brightest, reddest lipstick that I have.
Yes.
And it's kind of like, I kind of get a little bit of an attitude. I kind of walk around my house and it's like, why are you wearing red lipstick, Kim? And the answer is always because I can.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about the color red on my lips. When I went to university, I had a friend who, a very dear Indian friend, he was like, why do you always wear red lipstick? You look so fresh off the boat. And I was like, oh, is that an insult? He's like, yeah, it was the era of grunge where women were and girls were wearing flannels and stuff. And I was not into the grunge at all. No, not me. So yeah, I had my hoop earrings and my red lipstick and I'm like, suck it. And it was so funny. He was just like, God, you're just so, stop it. I'm like, I'm not gonna stop. I like it and I'd rather look like this than a flannel. I don't know what the hell's going on over there. So there. It's just me. And, you know, the more I think about it, the more I think red lipstick for me is very empowering because that is the blood of my enemies on my lips. I'm ready for more.
Mic drop. We're done here. That's all there is to say.
Who's next?
That's all there is to say. Yeah.
I'm going very Aztec on
who's next or do you want some?
I rip your heart out.
Yeah, it's just like, do you want some? Because I got some for you too. I've got some for you too.
Yes.
Yeah, let's see. Well, and it's, I feel like we all need to wear red lipstick. But I don't want that. Having said that, though, I also feel like I just made a statement that's exclusive of some folks because I know some women that they will never wear red lipstick. They will never wear lipstick, period. Chapstick.
That's interesting. And I want to know why.
For the same reason, there's one in particular, and I don't want to like.
No names, just
public her. Why. She would not be caught dead wearing a dress either.
I can understand that. That's, but
not like none of that. She does not, her gender expression is not the feminine way that our society says is feminine.
Okay. So it's not the stereotypical way.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I can understand that.
So for me to say, let's normalize everybody wear red lipstick, it would be like, I could hear her being like, no. It is just like, okay.
But let me tell you, for me, red lipstick is a liberation because when I was a kid, I remember being, you know, in third, fourth grade, and it was relentless how many people made fun of me because of my big lips. And back then, the pencil thin lips were all the rage and that very preppy look and the very white look. And And I could never fit in. My hair was never straight like my friend Wendy, straight and blonde. And everybody was always, the moment we walked in a room together, they would always be like, oh, I love your strawberry blonde hair. And of course, they'd look at me and they'd be like, you're cute too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. And I'd be like, damn. So, you know, now that the people are injecting their lips and stuff, I feel like a kind of a vengeance, like, oh, look who's drinking the Kool-Aid now.
Right. Well, and let's talk about that. It's like, oh my God, speaking of beauty standards, I saw something today. I've never done this. I don't even want to say her name. That Kardashian one.
Ooh, you said the whole thing. I would have just said K.
that one that I share a name with. I don't know how it ended up on my Instagram feed, but her Instagram story came up on my feed. And she like full on, like she bleached her eyebrows and then she did like makeup. And I was like, full on blackface. Like this is like amongst the worst shit she's pulled. So
whoa, wait a minute. She did a blackface?
You have to look at it. She does this all the time. She and her sisters all the time. And so I went to her Instagram story and I looked at it and I just like got sick to my stomach and I commented.
What?
I was like, girl, you're not black. I never do that. I never bother with that kind of shit, but.
Oh my God. Apparently this is a thing. Stop it. Oh my God. No.
Did you see?
Okay. No, I'm sure.
Maybe other people. Oh. Okay, wait, it gets worse. So right now I'm showing Alex Kim bleach her eyes. And then what comes up next is what she looks like with the makeup on.
Oh no.
She looks like one of the 1970s. Or I don't know what era it is, but there was an era where black women would bleach their hair. And so it was like this golden color and she's all made up and that's what she looks like. And it's just like, and so what made me think of her and think of that monstrosity is what you were saying about you were picked on and you were excluded because of how you look. And now it's like body shapes, black women's body shapes are, you know, you can go to the gym now and work out to be shaped like a black woman. And I'm not saying black women's bodies are bad because they're not, but what I'm talking about is the appropriation and that blackface and the adaptation of, we can't have those standards. Black, you know, just like white women wearing box braids. Mm. Black folks have to actually fucking pass laws to be able to wear natural hair to work and not get fired for it. And so it's all part of that appropriative standard that it's like, you know, oh, this looks great and ethnic on me, white lady, but you know, y'all are going to have to pay for what comes naturally to you.
Right. We're still policed.
Yeah.
Our beauty is completely policed. And I think it's funny that, you know, white women run to the gym to get the butt or whatever. And in reality, maybe they'll get a little bit because of muscle, but it's not the way this works. You are born with certain genes. And like, for me, I have a curvy back. That's not going to change. That's my DNA. I'm always going to have a backside, while other people are never going to have a backside unless they get surgical alterations. But it's so not worth it, people. Just work with what you got.
I wish, well, and that's the thing is, it's like, I just wish we lived in a different place where whatever you've got going on is fine.
Yes. I have a brown friend who got a glycolic peel because, you know, her esthetician was like, oh, it's all the rage. Everybody's doing it. It'll help get rid of all the spots you have in the darkness. Newsflash, we're brown. We're going to be dark. Mm-hmm. Glycolic peels are not going to help. She did it. And it turns out, she found out after the fact, that once you get one, you're supposed to get one on a regular basis or else you're going to look like a cracked alligator. Now, I don't know if this is true. I don't know what, but she has noticed that it messed up her skin. She's like full out more wrinkly. And so she does have to keep it up. And I'm like, holy shit. And this is why I don't trust. A lot of these aesthetic things they say is non-surgical are still dangerous territory. And if you don't study up on exactly what the upkeep and all of that is, stay the fuck away. Mm-hmm. It's not worth it. Because in the end, she's got some splotchiness that's kind of crazy that came from this.
I just feel like, you know, we have like, it's so weird that we, right now we're seeing like this body positivity movement that's supposed to counter. Yeah, well, and that's the thing is, it's like, you know, what is that body? So I'm not going to make somebody wrong because they choose to enhance their body. But at the same time, it's like, what's wrong with what you have?
Yeah, I think if we were more entrenched with, you're freaking awesome. And, you know, if you want to go get a polish or something, you know, that'll make you feel better, do that. But really also examine whether you are starting to buy into this gateway of you're never good enough. That's the danger zone.
Well, and I'm just curious about that. It's like, how would someone identify that? Oh, I just want to look pretty, look and feel pretty, period. I mean, I want to look and feel pretty. I want to feel attractive. And so it's like, where do we kind of put those? You and I've talked about this before. It's like, where's that line where it's like, I'm grossly overweight. I've got these parts of my body that are taking up space and getting in my way, and it's uncomfortable and I don't feel good and I'm not mobile or whatever. And so I want to change the way that I look for health. Like I want to be more mobile so I can go and take long walks or like whatever that is. So where, you know, because it feels like it's a really fine line between choosing that in an empowered way for yourself versus, well, I'm fat and I'm unattractive and no one's ever going to date me, so I better lose 28 pounds. Ah! I feel, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I feel like, you know, people who want to nourish their bodies in a good way and be able to move their bodies, it's like there's this weird space where it almost feels like it's wrong to want to diet. So we have diet culture, which sucks you in one direction and creates this standard and this illusion one way. But then there's the other side of it too. It's like, well, I want to be faster. I'm slow right now and I want to be faster and I want to feel better for my body. Is it bad because I want to lose weight?
There's a lot to unpack right there.
Mm-hmm.
So let me unpack the first part, the thing that segued us into that this discussion. So the first part is, how do you know when you've bitten the apple too hard? And I would say there are two litmus tests. Open your junk cabinet, and how many beauty products do you have and do you currently use? If you're using over 10 products, you've got a problem you might want to take a look at. And the second litmus test is, look at your monthly budget. Are you spending over $50 on beauty? Or diet?
Like, foods? What are you, like, are you buying that KKK tea that they're pushing?
What the hell is that?
The flat tummy tea.
Or get yourself some X-Lax. That's all it is.
Yeah, but I mean, all these celebrities, that's what it's like. You go on Instagram and they have a product that they're pushing, and it's either buy these brushes, buy this makeup, buy this tea, buy, you know, half that shit's probably really dangerous, but you know, buy this for your smoothie, buy the, you know, and if you just follow my regime, you know, don't eat anything or drink anything for 5 days, you're going to be just beautiful and perfect.
Oh, wow. That's a slippery slope if I ever heard one. So, you know, the thing with beauty and with weight is that you have everything within you already. I'm a firm believer that I see beautiful people around me, but they don't see themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've been clouded by this diet industry, by the Kardashian cartel. I mean, they're constantly, I cannot imagine how empty and sad their life must be if it's constantly about the look rather than, you know, I'm waking up and I'm cuddling with my family, I'm appreciating my partner in life, I'm appreciating just small things. If it's always about me, it's like you're throwing yourself a party and you're the only one, and you're going to be real lonely because nobody wants to join the me bandwagon. It should be the we bandwagon. And so, speaking of that, let's talk about weight loss. I rarely ever talk about weight loss because it's very triggering. I find that 95% of women who seek my counsel are riddled with diet industry standards and languaging and beliefs and have some form of disordered eating.
Mm.
And I think that has really done a disservice to women's empowerment in so many ways, because it feels almost like a self-policing of, oh, well, I'm not fit enough. It's such a big problem and such a big industry with so much money being poured into it. And the crazes are just crazy. I mean, right now, all I hear is keto, 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 which is fantastic if, you know, if you're prone to epileptic seizures and stuff, but is it a way of life to always stay away from bread? Normal bread and normal eating, and not obsessing about every plate or every fork that goes into your mouth. So I'm afraid I take a very, very old school approach. So when I personally start feeling like I'm putting on weight so that it's not allowing me to do the things I love to do with great pleasure, mm-hmm. like running or biking, I take an old school approach, a biblical approach, and I go back in the old days, people would fast. And so I water fast, and I'll take electrolyte solution when I'm feeling a little weird or headachy. But I don't have the disordered eating of binging and eating.
Mm-hmm.
I would not recommend this for people who have a history of eating disorders, in no way. Because a lot of eating disorders are also a way of dealing with trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Undealt with trauma will make things go sideways.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really touchy and personal subject in which I really think people need to soul search of what's really, what fits for them. And, you know, for me, fasting can come into like 16 hours of not eating, drinking teas and coffee and whatnot. And then, you know, an 8-hour window of eating whatever I want. And I just eliminate snacking, and that gets me to a place in my body where I can do what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a process. It'll take, you know, a month, 2 months, but it helps me feel better about doing what I need to do in life.
You know, the other thing about the diet culture is also we're set up so that there's good food and there's bad food.
Yes.
Right. And, you know, food is medicine, but you know, it's like your body needs nutrients to function, from your brain to your eyeballs, to your heart, to your gut health, your bones, your joints, all of it. And, you know, I always think, you know, and I've done it too, you know, but it's just like, oh, I can't have that because, you know, that's bad. And it's like, no, I want that hunk of bread to dip in the olive oil because that's good, actually.
Yeah.
You know, and it's how, you know, when we have things set up to be good and bad in that way, we, you know, how are we depriving our body of all around nutrition, that can actually, you know, we think we're healing our body, but we're not. Whereas if we allowed ourselves certain things, and I'm not talking about, please go to McDonald's and, you know, eat the Happy Meal, because, there's a part of me that wants to label that bad food, but I'm not going to.
But even that has value. That has value.
Well, if you live in a food desert and that's what you have access to, that's what you have access to. I mean, unfortunately, there are places where, you know, for economically or, you know, access issues. And so I'm not going to rip on that. But I mean, you know, that is not whole food. It's heavily processed food. And there is a difference between.
Having said food. That. Can I interject for just a second? So let's talk about a McDonald's, I don't know, burger, whatever not. So on the whole, diet industry is like, no, this is crap, whatever. So let's take it from the perspective of, let's say you have an aging parent and they're not eating. McDonald's could be very healing because the beef is like it's like pre-masticated. You're not going to really choke on the beef. And then it's got that little bit of lettuce. It's got the polyphenols from the tomato ketchup. And then it's got a sweet bread, which goes down easily. So the combination of salt and sugar triggers more appetite. So if I personally had the decision between feeding grandpa a burger or an Ensure, I'd rather give the burger, because the Ensure is definitely a cocktail of chemicals, mm-hmm. and also straight up oil and things that are not so good for the body as a hamburger, surprisingly enough.
And there are fast food places, their hamburgers are all filler. I mean, it comes down to knowing, making educated choices.
Right.
And access. And I, you know, I kind of struggle with, I think for me, I mean, first of all, okay, you know what? If you want to be on the keto diet, it's none of my business. I'm not buying your groceries. So do you. I want you healthy and happy. And this is my own food story though, too, is it's like, I feel some way about deprivation, and that's part of my food story around struggling with weight too, is it's like, you know, because there's a message that you have to deprive yourself to be healthy or to look some way. And life is not about depriving yourself. When, you know, when I've traveled to Italy, oh, I ate that pasta.
Yes.
And I drank that wine.
Yeah.
And I ate the cheese. I paid for the cheese a little bit. But nonetheless, it was like, I'm in freaking Italy, home of buffalo mozzarella. Yes, I'm eating that.
Yes.
I don't care. I'm eating that. Interestingly enough, I actually lost weight while I was in Italy. I wonder what that was about.
A lot less additives and food purity laws, which are not what happens here. Here in the United States, we do not have food purity laws, which I find problematic, and why people are not taken to the streets about the purity of their food and water is beyond me. It makes me very upset. And also, I gotta say, deprivation, yes, I... Funny enough, deprivation for me is also a trigger. And so when I am fasting, I am working through this in my little psychological way of, what is this really about? Is this really about my ancestors? Is this really about me? And what am I telling myself that is triggering me to want to just say, fuck it all and just go for it? So it's work. It's work on a lot of levels, which I find... For me, it keeps me on my toes,
mm-hmm.
because I'm constantly checking in with myself and taking care of the inner me who's like, but you're not feeding me and I don't feel loved, because that's a story for me.
I think, so because I'm thinking about, you know, how does this conversation around food and the diet industry relate back to our red lipstick, which is where we started. And what came to me was, are we willing to be self-aware? And, you know, it's like, we've had a conversation about like empowerment, right? It's like, if you want to choose something, choose it. If you want to avoid something, choose to avoid it. You know, it's like, there's a difference between being a passive participant in your life,
yes,
and allowing things to just happen to you and be a victim to that, and being empowered and creating the things that you want. And I think, you know, it's like, I did this the other day, actually. And it felt so liberating. It was weird because I'm feeling really out of sorts these days. I, you know, to be honest, I'm, you know, for anybody listening, I'm sharing this because I want to make you feel okay that maybe you're a little messy right now and maybe you're not feeling okay. I'm having a little struggle. Part of this is related to mood, and it is also related to my body. I've got the comfort food situation down pat in the last month and a half, and it shows. I also had an injury, that, you know, here since July, I've been nursing an injury in my foot that's made it difficult for me to consistently be out moving around. And now that things are opening up, I mean, there's opportunity to go out and about and be seen out in the world again. And I'm feeling very much like I'm not interested in being seen. I don't like what's going on here. It feels really uncomfortable. And I feel, I feel really uncomfortable. And I catch myself struggling against these patterns, right? Where it's just like, so what has kept my migraines under control has been diet choices, eliminating inflammatory foods and choosing things that support brain health. Though none of those are comfort foods. And I've been trying to make them comfort foods, but they're not participating in this. So there's been this struggle and then it comes into the story of, Oh, well, we're going to be out in the world again. Well, who's going to want to connect with me in this body looking like I do? This is not the same Kim that started quarantine. This is a different Kim, right? We're all different.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been kind of, you know, touching and going on this game of, well, you're going to have to go on a diet to lose this weight. And that triggers all the fields, and then all the fields trigger more fields. And so there's this sort of thing. And I have to say this time around though, I'm actually aware of, here are the different stories that are at play. So my responsibility to myself is to choose instead of hanging out and, oh, poor me. And blah, blah. It's like, okay, so what are you going to choose? And so, last weekend I'm half vaxxed and my friend is immune and we decided to go out in the world. We went to a restaurant for the first time, in a really long time. And I haven't had wine in a really long time because of the migraine, but I was like, we're going to have wine. And she ordered cheese and meat appetizer. And I was like, I haven't had that in a long time either. And what I'm calculating is, am I tomorrow when I wake up with a migraine, is it going to be worth it? And that whole thing is like, that's a, you know, inviting migraine is a whole different story. So I ordered something that, I ordered like a pesto pasta with cheese with my wine, and I ate the hell out of it. You know, and I got full after like eating half of it. I was full, so I had something to take home. And our server came by and was like, you know, do you want dessert? And my friend is just like, oh no, I'm not eating that today. I'm low carb. And the server looked at me and it was funny. And I'm just like, okay, cool. You know, I got it. And cause it's like, well, I'm not gonna have dessert if my friend's not having dessert. But then I sat there and I was like, fuck that. I want the dessert.
Good. Yes.
I looked at the waitress and I was just like, I might get hit by a bus when I step off the curb outside of your restaurant here. So yes. I better have this cake.
Yes.
And it was totes worth it.
Oh, hell yes.
100% worth it. And I'll do it again too.
But that's the thing. Food is also a great joy. And when you're sharing it in community, it elevates. And people forget that being together and sharing food is an elevation of the experience of life. These are the moments we live for. And what a miserable fuck are you if you come to a party or to dinner and you're like, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do this, and I don't do that. And then looking at everybody judgy, like, oh, I wish I could, but I can't. No, life's too short. Either shut the fuck up or have the fucking cake.
The cake.
One of the two options, but don't bring everybody else down to whatever is serving you or not serving. Just do whatever you're doing with gusto, but don't lean into people about it.
Choose. It's yeah. Your choice. And I think that's the thing is, you know, I also, as I'm getting older, you know, I'm that anti-age now. So there's also a huge part of me that's like, I could give two fucks what you think. I'm going to do what I want, which is also kind of part of where I'm at right now. It's like, you've been doing whatever you wanted for the last year, girl. And you know what? That shirt doesn't fit you. Your favorite shirt doesn't fit you. Yeah, so, you know, maybe we ought to just reevaluate how doing literally whatever the fuck you want is serving you, because you still got to live in the world, right, with people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, that's what it comes down to is I relating this part of our conversation back to the first, which was about empowerment and choice. And it's like, all we have to do is choose. Not choosing is a choice. Like yes. Hanging around and like being stuck. That's choosing. That's choosing. Right. Choosing to do what doesn't serve you. That's a choice. You know what? And if that's what you're going to do, I'm going to, you know, if you want to wake up in the morning and wash your Lucky Charms down with a couple shots of Jack Daniels and smoke a cigarette as you're walking your dog, choose it. Wake up and say to yourself, I'm going to do this today.
Own it.
Own it.
Yep.
Just do that. Just do that. I have to tell you, my neighbor that I've been worried about, I'm seeing life over there again. And one of the funniest things about my neighbor, my door is open. One of the funniest things is their bathroom windows open. And when he showers, he does that thing that men do, which is like blow their nose.
Oh!
And so this time of day, I can hear that. And it, I don't know why, but it makes me laugh. It's always really funny to me.
Oh my God.
Glad you're okay, neighbor.
Oh my God.
Any hoozles? Hey, do we have sass or nosh? Or, well, we have sass. We always have sass. Do we have nosh to discuss today?
I am looking forward to going home and eating my Greek meatballs.
Whoop, whoop.
Yes. Yesterday, I made a freaking 50 meatballs. I use Impossible Burger meat.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it really is. Especially every once in a while. It lands it. So I do a Greek style. So it's got nutmeg and cinnamon and oregano in it and a whole onion. So delicious. I serve it on rice with tomato sauce.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. Mine, it's liquid nosh. I've decided that I would like to experience tea. Not like the shit that you buy, the Lipton tea down at the Vons. I like decided, I was like, you know what? The whole like learning about tea is very much like wine. Like there's like a whole thing. So I decided, so the champagne of tea is Darjeeling. I'm like, okay, so what can I learn about this? So I found an online tea shop and they, first of all, I don't know if people know this, but loose leaf tea is fucking expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like what? And I know why. It's like, because it's the fannings. It's basically tea dust. They put in a tea bag and that's why you can buy 300 bags, tea bags for like $2 at the grocery store. So that was my first thing that I learned. But so this tea shop, I ordered 5 samples of 5 different kinds of Darjeeling. They're all from India, different estates in India. And I bought the samples because I wanted to try them out before I committed to spending money. And so, I bought 5 kinds of, and it was like $25 for the samples. So I have just, it's all Darjeeling. And then I bought a decaf Darjeeling vanilla. And it came yesterday and I had the vanilla tea yesterday. And I've learned the whole way that you make tea with the, you know, the boiling water and the loose leaves, and you don't put it in the strainer and you warm up the cup and all of that stuff. So yesterday I had the Darjeeling vanilla yesterday afternoon. Girl, I was like, what is this? What is this magic? And this morning I was so excited because I actually was able to go for a walk today. So I got up super early. I went for my walk and I came home and I made it intentional mindfulness, right? Did the water, put the tea leaves in the water, warmed up my little cup, my handmade little bowl with a naughty word in it. This is my teacup. And I sat here, I put a little napkin down on my little table here, covered it. And while my tea was steeping, I didn't look at my phone. It was so hard, but I sat here waiting, just like staring at the wall, waiting for the tea to steep for a whole 5 minutes. And then I poured myself the tea and I did what I would do with a glass of wine, right? You know, and I like fully like, what does it smell like? What does it look like? What? And I have to tell you, like, it's like tea is a whole different world. It's a whole different world. It's so different from coffee. Like this quality tea is like so different from coffee. And so tomorrow I can't wait to try the next sample that I got. And I have to tell you, one of the other samples that I picked up is an herbal tea, which actually doesn't have any tea in it. It's just dried herbs or fruits or whatever. It's ginger, carrot, beetroot, and some other, I think there's a spice in there. I can't remember. And I opened the packet and I fell over dead. Yeah. So my bougie, my little, I'm being bougie with the tea right now. So my nosh, I'm going to go prepare myself a glass or a cup of some nice Darjeeling vanilla.
Where's
tea.
It from?
Let me get it. So the tea company is Upton Tea Imports.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get the box. Let me get my thing. My walk was long and my leg is sore. Ah. Okay, so we have Upton Tea Imports, and so this is Steinthal Estate from India. That's what I had this morning. And then
does it have a location?
This just, if I go on the website, there's probably a location.
Okay.
This just says India. Yeah, these are Margaret's Hope Estate, because not all of the Darjeeling tea comes from Darjeeling.
No.
This is Darjeeling from India. Yeah, so it's like, so it comes from, these are all from different estates in India. What is this one? Oh, this is the one. This is organic ginger, carrot, beetroot, or herbal tea. And it's got carrot, ginger, licorice root, chicory root, beetroot, turmeric, sunflower petals, black pepper, galangal. How do you say that word? Galangal? Galangal mm-hmm. root, and sweet orange oil.
Very nice.
Girl. And then they said, oh, what else do I have here? And then they sent me a freebie, Mozambique black tea from Mozambique. And then I got, there's my decaf vanilla. Okay, so this is from China. Sticky rice, puer.
Puer, yeah.
That's like you dump it in the water and it blossoms. So maybe I'll try this later. I'm excited. It's wrapped up like a bouillon cube.
That very like, nice.
Smells like rice. Well, that'll be interesting.
That's very cool that you're looking into tea. Just so you know, I am a big fan of tea and I have a supplier of Indian tea and it's called Janam Indian Tea, and the company's owned by a woman named Amy Dubin who has a tea room in New York City.
Note self. Yeah, I'm sampling tea. So I'm like, so this is good to know, because then we can talk tea and we can have like a whole tea thing now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, I'm going to just hang out with the Darjeeling right now, see what I can learn. And then next up, we're going to head for the Assam.
Nice.
Yeah.
And yeah, then maybe some oolong before long.
And maybe some oolong. And then we'll get into the whole, like gunpowder.
That's more from mid tea.
I had gunpowder tea once. Like I had like a huge cup of it. And I learned, I was like, oh, they call it gunpowder because you're ready to go off when you
get done. In every way, you're ready to go off.
You are ready to go off.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness. Hello, everybody. Guess what?
Welcome.
It's time for Sass and Nosh.
Yay!
Sass and Nosh with Alex and Kim. That's Alex, and I'm Kim. Welcome.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome.
We're back.
Today, we're going to do a little bit of a miscellaneous hodgepodge on beauty.